to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber aboard. SP Futures down 66. Not a good morning so far. If you're long, and I'm long. My clients are long. We're protected, but still, NASDAQ futures down
66. They're down 4% from Friday's high.
Yep,
and we're down 5% when I woke up in the middle of the night from Friday's high.
So what are you doing waking up in the middle of the night checking the market? Or are you trading?
Idle minds are devil's workshop, so I try to engage it.
So did you buy or sell Spoo in the middle of the night?
I went back to bed.
I was
actually, they were buying right after midnight. It was, God, I think the low was 29.23, and it basically went muddled around a couple hours looking at the charts and went up to 29.75. But, I mean, our high was, gosh, 30.77 on Friday.
Yeah, I'm kind of stunned now with all these people. I don't see any. You know, it's funny, Frank. One thing to me is somewhat a symptom of between the protests, the riots, the coronavirus. Everybody's got an awful lot of stuff to say, and nobody has a solution to anything. I don't understand how come people aren't getting. The people who have already had it, they have the antibodies. Why aren't people getting that are in trouble getting that blood plasma, which has been something that's used for 100 years? Why isn't that going to nursing homes and or places where people are in danger? No, it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Why
and then
that?
You have prisons.
Yeah, well.
I mean. Now, my wife's getting a plasma test. I guess you have to, per her doctor, you have to, not a plasma test, but an antigen test. It really only works if they run the test immediately while it's, they call it warm blood. You can't let it sit around.
Well, you're not supposed to get,
I don't know.
I'm not so sure when you get shot and the blood's on the street, it's good for much, other than being on the street. It's got to be pretty fresh. Even I know that.
Yes. Well, my wife wasn't shot, but no. That's why I'm not talking to anybody. I'm staying self-isolating and not talking to people in authority.
Oh God. Well, I bumped into two things. I mean, I don't. This whole thing about I've said a couple times regarding the county and Tony Preckwinkle, you know, whatever, coming out and saying, well, you don't need fishing licenses because of the meaning the people from the county don't want to go into work and sell it to you. Really means they're not doing you a favor. You don't need fishing license stuff. So about 6 weeks ago, we had a warm Sunday out of the blue, and all of a sudden I see people out in forest preserves fishing and hiking and stuff, and I'm going, this will never last. Some bump will pick up his cell phone and send the pictures into Tony Preckwinkle, you know, some guy sitting too close to his son fishing or something. Sure enough, next week all the parking lots are closed. So yesterday I drive by, and guys are now parking on the shoulder of the road, maybe 15 cars. So there's maybe 15 people fishing on this huge honking lake out on Willow Springs Road or whatever the hell it is before you get to Willow Springs, 104th Avenue or something. And
I know which Joe's Pond.
Yeah,
no, not that. Okay.
So the police are rousting them, getting them out of there, sending them home. Tell me, what is wrong with somebody sitting out fishing by himself in a forest preserve?
Except they were fishing at Tampere Lake, which is on, gosh, what is that, 123rd and Wolf, just west of there. And then also Papoose Lake, which is just west on 123rd, just west of LaGrange. They were fishing there yesterday.
So what's the matter with that?
I can't figure out the enforcement of the Cook County laws. Now, people were fishing on all the ponds throughout Arlen Park yesterday, too. Nobody was being hassled.
Well, I mean, the Forest Preserve shut the parking lots on weekends.
Yeah, but Tampere and Papoose Lake were open.
A couple of spots are open, and I don't know how what the difference
McGinnis
is.
McGinnis Slough is open also.
But if you go down, you know what I'm talking about, the one between Wolf and the one that turns into Willow Springs Road.
Right.
There's a bridge. Well, if you go by there, every one of those parking lots were closed.
That's Saganashki Slough.
Whatever. But, I mean, there's a bunch of them along there.
I know that from birding. I bird at all those places. So.
Now, are you going to catch it from a bird or a fish, we think?
No. There's so many backways and secret parking lots for these forest preserves. I'm really confused what they're doing and how they make the choices.
Well, they're confused, too. Our law enforcement, our leadership is totally confused.
Well, I was talking to a friend who works for the Department of Education, the United States, you know, Department of Education, head Betsy DeVos. They have been told that they will probably be working from home the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, the government doesn't want to go back to work.
The federal government.
Yeah.
I find that confusing, but they're yelling at the states. What's going on?
They all want to get paid from home.
No, but I'm talking about the bosses, our federal bosses.
Yeah, they want to get paid from home.
Well, I understand that. For example, people who have my old job should be working from home, except they can't get email access using a state email address to do work. It's a simple job to do from home.
Well, it depends on what home's like. If you got four kids running around, it's a problem.
None of them do. Right, it's a problem. But then, and the libraries are closed.
Yeah, playgrounds are closed. Or they might be open again.
Oh, the playgrounds, I can't figure that out either. They'll let one family go, but I haven't seen any enforcement of that. Sometimes you drive through, they have snow fences around it. It's really haphazard.
Yes, it is. So I bumped into a real short story. I bumped in on Saturday morning because I'm hustling back from Orland to meet my workers at the place, and I bump into my neighbor, and I don't exactly know what his job is, Frank, but I know he's been involved in buying and selling and consulting to biotech firms like forever. So he really knows this crap, for lack of a better term. So I go, hey, what's the story with all this stuff? I mean, He goes, well, you know, I've never seen so many decisions made on the basis of science that have no science behind it. He goes, you know, one phrase I haven't heard the entire time of this whole pandemic is the term viral load. And he goes, that's the key term. He goes, if you're 6 feet apart and some little piece of something lands on your shirt, that's not enough viral load to get anybody sick. Because it has to do with how close you are, how long you've been exposed, how much the virus. He goes, his mother is in the nursing home. She's 104, which is a real number. And they tell him that if she tests positive, you're going to move her into the wing where all the other COVID people are. And he goes, no, you're not. And they go, what do you mean? He says, if she's okay and she's working her way through it, it means that she may only have gotten a little bit, and she's fighting it off. I don't want her going somewhere where she's going to get a lot more. This idea
greater that, viral load. Yeah. I like that term, Tom.
He goes, the idea that anybody that's anywhere near somebody that coughs, you know, 15 feet away, you're going to be enough. He goes, we're not talking about measles. He goes, there's a certain amount of this that you need. And he goes, the science, everything I read that says science, he goes, there might have been a couple of real scientific things that I dug out. Because all the stuff the press is going on, he goes, there's no science in any of that stuff. But in terms of if you're going to invest in that company or actually going to make, he goes, I don't know what they're calling it, but it's just not. Why all of a sudden are we? Somebody hears something on the right, somebody hears something on the left, somebody hears a guy that, and yet there's no rigorous study in any of the stuff that I'm reading, which isn't to say that we don't have scientists someplace that must be doing all this stuff. I'm sure in hospitals, I hope that if somebody has a treatment that's getting a little bit better, that gets out real fast among doctors.
Well, I think what's happening here, the reason we aren't getting anything definitive is it's a new enough virus or a new enough disease that they've only been studying it, 4 or 5 months? So rigorous science takes longer than, a couple of months. So people are grasping for conclusions because otherwise you don't have anything to print or anything to browbeat with us with in order to convince us to engage or not engage in some behavior.
Well, anything that doesn't match the politics of whoever sees it, the federal level or state level, that immediately gets quashed. All right, so Frank, we got to talk about the market. What do you suppose? We had the huge down day on Thursday. We bounced back, I'm not going to say half. What did we bounce back? About a third on Friday, right? Virtually all in the last minute or last few minutes. We ran up on the close. And all of a sudden, we're right flat back down. Or where let me check. We're not at Thursday's lows yet, are we? Thursday's close.
No, we're below. Thursday's low. Oh, let me check. Thursday's low was, yes, we are, was 2096. We're at 2956. But where we were at about 2970 when we had that rally up to,
We went to 3180 or something.
But on Friday when we ran up to, in the last half hour or so and ran up to 3034, that was a 2% rally. So we're below where we started Friday's low right now.
So where were we? What data were we?
About 15 points lower.
All right, I got
half a percent.
All right, I got a 2-year chart up here. So this is a week, yes. So we were down from, we were down a bunch last week. We were down.
Our high for the week was, I'm looking at this right now, 3223. We're at 2956, so that's, 250 points.
Yeah.
We're down 8% from the highs. That's Wednesday.
And we're nowhere near this 22.
Tuesday, early Wednesday.
So the low and the whole fiasco, the rundown, was in March, and the low was, 25.24, something like that, 25?
Yeah, 24. So I only have a weekly up, but
I'm only getting the weekly, sir. We're a long way from there. But I've been trying to go through the fundamentals in some of these areas, Frank, and I don't,
the low was 21.74.
If you talk to people in the burbs, went out to, Audrey had her official birthday gig Friday night, and she had all her pals over, and what a nice group. Boy, talk about independent, everybody's real estate, mortgage broker, and a couple of people that are in the liquor business. All the people that work for the big places, like one of the ladies is a sommelier and so forth, the people who work for the big hotels and areas where, the big restaurateurs, none of those people are back to work. People are being called back are the ones that work with the local bars and restaurants because they're actually opening a little bit. But, none of these places downtown.
Don't know if the business travels.
Yeah, well,
going to come back. Or let's talk about law offices. Jenner and Block stopped payment on their huge office complex downtown. And they're realizing that people can actually do law from home.
Well, I think that's all gonna somewhat end. I think some businesses. I'm one of these guys, Frank, that always looks at every individual case. It's different. And you add them all up. There are people that, especially in the liquor business, some of Audrey's friends and people. Well, she's my friend too. She's trading trading floor. I've known her forever. They demanded that she went in every morning. And some mornings, she literally drove 8 miles to the office to turn around and go to a place 4 miles the other way from her house. So it would have been very accretive for her efficiency for 2 days a week to probably not go in the office and just do her outside days those days, and she would have probably cut back her mileage 20% and the whole bit. So that was, pretty stupid to make her come in every day just to see her. Yet, I honestly believe, I know here, if somebody, we've had one of the guys, the train he takes, the Southwest train in, which has been totally useless. So there's been, you know, 70% of the days he hasn't been able to make it in. Well, you know what? He's at home. I'm not saying he's not working. He is. He's always there when I call and so forth. But all of a sudden the phone rings here and there's four people calling at the same time and he's not here to help. And you know what? That sucks. I mean, the idea that if you have a special project, you walk by and there's four people here instead of eight, and one of the four always gets the job because you don't know where the hell the other four are. I mean, I think.
Don't disagree at all. That Southwest train, there was never more than, in Palos Park, never more than eight cars in the train station all this past week.
I know. They're just,
That's my anecdotal evidence, but I'm talking about driving by it at 10 o'clock in the morning.
My brother says that the Rock Island cars are up to, he was the only person in the car for a long time. Now he says they're up to maybe three per car, three or four. This is with the abbreviated schedule. But I tell you what, I guess where I started this conversation, or just, you know, make a long story short, too late. The people that work in other areas, like in the mortgage business, in the real estate business, especially in the suburbs, they have no idea of the neutron bomb that is downtown Chicago. There is nobody here. I mean, I don't know how these buildings are paying. And I got news for Lori. If she expects these people to pay their taxes this year, Lori, you better run the thing coming, because it's maybe. Does she think she's going to send our building? Well, you know, I guess here people are still paying their rent. Small enough, you know, the people here are probably cool enough about that, but.
You know, Benner and Block says, hey, we're not paying March, or, you know, April and May, and they're refusing to pay June. That's a huge deal. Well, they have eight stories in a top level building.
Well, we had John Flanagan on last week, and he was saying that if you actually went through their paperwork, a lot of those places have a lot of caveats in there. And he goes, it's actually, they might be almost within their rights. You know, they might have something in there like, if the court system closes for any period of time, we get half off that month. Sometimes there's a lot of what ifs in those things, especially when those guys take that much space.
He goes, and they implied that in Crane Chicago Business.
Yeah. He says, there might, what they're arguing about probably are which terms kick in and which ones don't. So, but there's, let me put it this way. I'll try and summarize. Nobody is saying that they owe the entire gross amount, given what's happened. Now, whether the 3.8 they haven't paid is the right number, that's what they're arguing about. They maybe should not have paid two or one or half a mil, but he says there's probably no question that the gross amount is not due based on the lease.
See, right, and they at minimum have to pay for storage of their equipment, records. And
yeah, property. I mean, he goes, every one of them is kind of different. He goes, there's always stuff in there where, if something happens and like all public transportation shuts down, you know, we get 20% off. Because there's always, they don't just sign up for a lease like that for 20 years and say, no matter what happens anywhere, if there is no city anymore, we still owe you. There's always, I've never seen one of those leases. I'll bet they're pretty complicated, but anyway, that's where he claims that the lawsuit is they don't think that General Black's reading of how much they get a discount is right. Not that there should be
right.
No discount.
It's going to have to be adjudicated.
Yeah, well, unless they can agree on it, which you would think lawyers settle all the time, but maybe they're not going to in this case. But
all depends how big the money is.
But I mean, we've seen this United Airlines fly up to 46, now they're back down to 36. Boeing's down another $12 this morning. It got up to, where'd it get to, 240 or something?
Yep.
I mean, we're starting to look at some of these companies, right? And I don't see some of them coming, and I don't see, every day I say this, I don't understand why Duluth Trading isn't open their stores. Why isn't L.L. Bean open? Why?
Duluth is open.
No worries.
In Yorktown or on Finley Road, yeah.
If they opened, they opened yesterday.
I went there last week. They opened a week ago Friday. I had a return.
Okay, because the L.L. Bean guys are not open. L.L. Bean are not open, and neither is Eddie Bauer, because there's one in Burr Ridge. They're not open. But I'm saying they're very slow to the gate, and yet You go to Walmart, everybody's there. Everybody at Target, everybody's there.
Oh, God, and I won't go to the ones by Audrey and myself are just intolerable places, even if there isn't a pandemic.
Audrey has a friend, and we'll go into this, but let's just say she's having some times have not been good for her, and times are not good for a lot of people, but she wants to go to the Walmart. She will only go to the one out by Joliet. So it's so we were there yesterday morning at 6 a.m. Then we went to the Jewel, we went to Myers, we were at every place. She needed to get her stuff, and her bottom line is her car doesn't work, so I'm being the good guy and doing the stuff for her.
That's nice.
Yeah, I don't...
More people have to do that stuff, Tom.
Well, I know. I have no problem with it, to be honest with you. Brightly. The Walmart, I don't know, what do people see in that place? It's nowhere near as nice as the...
No idea. Remember when we first started our jobs, when you were at Pullman and I was at IBM?
Yeah.
Walmart's big selling slogan was, everything was made in America.
Yeah, well, I remember the, talk about a place, Sam's Club, when it first opened in Evergreen Park. Get a little of this, Manny. And on the wall, they had the Walmart stock price of that day, high and low. And it said, because everybody, a lot of the management got stock, bonuses in those days. Like Home Depot. When Home Depot first opened, he's some old codger in the electric aisle. The guy was probably a millionaire because he had Home Depot stock from day one, right? I'm not sure. I don't think they do that anymore. But you'd walk in and the motto in the place was, here's where the stock price is. Stock price tomorrow will depend on how well you service our customers today.
Yep.
But I don't think they do that much that anymore. But I mean, I'm having a real problem trying to value these stocks, Frank, to be honest with you. That's why I do anyway.
Well, I mean, look, BT did this morning. They came out and they said basically oil demand and carbon footprint are going to be cratered. And they're saying between now and 2050, they're going out 30 years on a forecast, oil will average at the most $55 a barrel.
They're going to write down $17.5 billion in the second quarter.
Right.
How do you even conceive of that kind of number from a company and still be okay or somewhat okay? And the pressure on this COVID thing here, the pressure, anybody who gets one now, they want to shut everything back down again. And all it did was tell you that shutting things down didn't do any good. As soon as you open it up, you're right back where you started from. I don't know, this is crazy stuff, Frank, but I'm really some of the people that, when you get accounts in, I've always been more comfortable, maybe because I was in the OEX pit for 20 years, I'm more comfortable trading the market and having people being diversified. And I always had this, especially since, 2000 and 2008 and all these years, the last thing I want to do is the most horrible thing that could happen to a guy who's a broker, which, I am, money manager / broker, is if somebody would have wandered in here in 2006 and said, or actually before 9/11 even, and said, here's my portfolio, and they would have had, let's see, Kmart, General Motors, United Airlines, Bear Stearns.
You forgot GE.
GE. GM. And, in the Midwest, everybody in Chicago had United Airlines, right? It's a hometown stock. And everybody had Sears, right? I mean, I would have said, yeah, it looks fine to me. Jesus. What if I had told somebody that, and 8 years later, every one of them is toast? I mean, so right now, I am really, when people call and they say, here's my portfolio, and there's 30 stacks there, and they want you to go down the list with them. What about this one? What do you think? I'm going, wait a minute. Whoa. I mean, it's very difficult right now for anybody to put a number. You have no idea how these people are being affected, how much money they had in the balance sheet, what their lease terms are for their various buildings. I mean, I have no idea whether or not, I sound like Frank, I have no idea whether these individual companies, how much they're up to their ass in this stuff. How do you know?
Anything retail is speculative.
Oh, absolutely. And yet, we were willing to drive Amazon to every price there is. I don't know if that's going to last either, Frank, to be honest with you. And I think they'll be somewhat, but they don't make any money. that the stock price is already at a spot where what's the you know, PE is to the moon. So I mean, how many more people are going to watch Netflix? I mean, I think it's very, very difficult right now to be the stock picker's market. I think a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people grabbed the stocks, the ones that I like to look at, the G's, the Cliff, you know, the Cleveland Cliffs, the FCX, those kinds of stocks that haven't moved, and all of a sudden they had a huge move in a week where you made like 20% on every one of them. Now they're all going right back down again. But one thing's for sure is if you happen to catch one that makes you some money, I don't know that you can be a, quote, investor here.
I mean, no. It's take the money and run, and that's whether you're long or short. It's made us all speculators. I mean, we're talking, geez, we were down, what, 38% at the high.
Yeah.
And in the past week, high to low, in a day, we've had a 5, 6% move, and interest rates are 1%. So if you get 6 years in one trade on your cost of money, geez, take it.
I do think, though, Frank, that if you can get yourself in protected like I'm doing for people, I'm not so sure that the level of the, quote, market here, if you protect yourself, is not a bad spot to get in, at least some of your money.
Exactly. The purpose here is to protect your assets
right.
and smooth the curve.
Right.
Not have to take that punch when it goes up or down.
Last thing you want to do is want to be in, and if we go down 30%, they have to sell there. You don't want to be that person. Anyway, Frank, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you later.
SPV okay, is now. Great week.
Hey, we're bouncing. Only down 59 and a quarter. NASDAQ futures only now 135. Be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 61. They were down more last night, but still 61's a big enough chunk. NASDAQ futures down 141. Dow futures right about down 600. So this compares with Friday when we were up 39. So we're just in the futures. So we're way past the Friday spot. So not so hot over in Europe. We've got the DAX down 150, 130, 1.3%. FTSE down 70, 1.1%. CAC around down 58. That's 1.2. Asia, which led us lower starting last night early on. Japan down more than 3%, 774, that's 3.5%. Shanghai down 29, that's 1%. Hang Seng down 524, that's 2%. Bonds, we're down to 6.66 on the 10-year yield. When it got over 80, remember everybody was saying it was going to go back over 1 point? That didn't work. One down, minus 0.45 in Japan, a positive 0.003, hanging back a thread, positive. Oil, down 86 cents, 35.40. Brent down 57 cents, 38.16. Natural gas, 173. RBOB, 111. As British Petroleum came out this morning and said they're going to take a $17.5 billion hit this quarter. That's real money. Gold down 22 bucks. We don't even want gold here today, 17.14. Silver down a quarter. That's a lot, 17.22. Matty, we had this thing back and forth with the Notre Dame pals all weekend, and a couple of the guys are very enthusiastic about the world, and I dug up a line and I said, let's just hope that this isn't what's happening. The three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they all caught the last train for the coast. Let's hope that didn't happen, right? What song was that from?
I know that song, but I can't think of it.
American Pie.
Yeah, American Pie, that's right. Yeah. What the hell's his name?
Don McLean.
Don McLean. I was going to say Don Henley.
But Buddy Holly dying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the plane went down, killed Buddy Holly and Fats Domino and somebody else.
The Big Bopper.
Big Bopper.
I met a girl who sang the blues and asked for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away, man.
Yeah. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues to report. You're going to love this one, Chief. There's an overturned vehicle at Armitage Avenue getting onto the Kennedy. So it's blocking the right lane on Armitage as you get onto the Kennedy.
How do you overturn going up the entrance ramp?
It's a great question. I don't know if it's on Armitage, like under the bridge as you're about to turn on, or if it's actually on the ramp itself. But it just says overturn vehicle at Armitage Avenue and the Kennedy Expressway. That's causing some slowdown as people are trying to get on the expressway there. So that's an issue. We also have an exit ramp closed to the Kennedy on the outbound side at Montrose. But that's closed until Wednesday the 17th for construction. So you won't be able to get off on Montrose on the outbound Kennedy. Those are two issues affecting the outbound Kennedy. No issues on the Edens or inbound side. Looks like the Eisenhower is all quiet, although there is an issue on the tri-state, I-294. A crash is blocking the two right lanes at St. Charles Road out in the western suburbs. So that's our biggest crash in the area right now. That's on the tri-state southbound side at St. Charles Road. No issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson is nice and quiet as well. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, similar to yesterday. Sunshine, cool temperatures, a high of 69. Right now it is clear and 59 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 69. for our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 106 today. Right now it's clear and 76. In sports, Major League Baseball Players Association asked MLB to just set a schedule for the 2020 season rather than counter the latest return-to-play proposal that the league sent, where they essentially didn't cave on anything over the last three back-and-forths. The Major League Baseball and the Players Association had an agreement in place in March that allows MLB to set a schedule, and the league has suggested that in the absence of a negotiated agreement with the union, it could impose a schedule of somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 games and pay players full prorated salaries with a total of around $1.25 billion. So the players are saying, all right, let's see the schedule. We're ready to play. And it looks like that's where we're headed right now. So we'll keep tabs on that. But no agreement for a pay cut for a longer season. And so now it looks like it's going to be a sprint season, and that's where we're at.
Chief? So if somebody tests positive or the game's off that day, or that guy goes home?
I don't know that level of detail. I'll have to look into it. I assume it'll be like any other league. They're going to test everybody on their way in and test them on their way out. And if someone tests positive, then they go on quarantine for 14 days.
All right, John, how are you?
Tom, I'm recovering.
Yeah, well, I understand you did some manual labor.
Actually, did some manual labor. Talk about, you know, overestimating my strength. Even the simple tasks these days are tough when you haven't been doing anything for 3 months. So, yeah, I was just doing basic kind of yard work and some projects, and, man, I feel like a real old man today.
Well, let's just say I was hauling the 40-pound bags of kitty litter for this friend of Audrey's yesterday, and that used to be a one-hand pickup. It's not anymore.
Nope.
just saying, you know. It's a
20 pounds is a two-grabber for me.
It is a... Age is a great thing. anyway, it was a.
But God bless ibuprofen, so I'm doing okay today.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of electrical work, and the, you know, when you use the BX, I mean, you're supposed to just crack it, and then unwrap it, and then just snip it, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to crack it, and I'm going, this stuff must be tougher. Than it used to be. I don't know if that's necessarily the answer there. I think it might be same reason why the softball hit where they walk in when I come to the plate. There's a pattern here, shall we say. Used to be a few guys actually stepped back. Well, now we're stepping in. It's very humbling, to say the least. All of a sudden, there's a lot less grass out there to drop a ball into, if you know what I mean. Chad, we're talking about leadership, and you saw the stuff going back and forth to the Notre Dame guys this weekend. It is interesting how the people who live in a small town, especially the ones with a government pension, are a lot more enthusiastic than people that are in a city watching what's going on.
I'll say. I mean, yeah. Everything that has, you know, bummed people out about this upset in their routine is just magnified in big cities to a point that it's just, you know, as you were saying, the city is just desolated. And if you are in a small town or a smaller town than big cities, I think you really don't know just how profound, you know, the change has been for people and how demoralizing it is to see it all the time.
I don't know what frosts me more when you go through a day and you're trying to keep up on the news, but same thing with the we were just talking earlier about the COVID. I've not really the total lack. Everybody's got an opinion. And the total lack of any real science that I've seen guiding these people, whatever, you would think we'd be getting there by now. The same thing is regarding the police and what's happening and the racial inequality and all these kinds of things. I don't, and almost to me, if you're willing to write a 200-page column where you cite some sources and cite your opinion and try and back it up, I guess maybe in some ways I just never left school or something. I mean, that's what you had to do to get yourself heard, for lack of a better term. And now, we don't have any of that stuff. What does LeBron say in a tweet? What does Kevin Costner say in a tweet? What is, you know, God knows who, whatever. Let me find an Asian guy or an Indian. Let's throw him in there. Somebody that somebody knows the name of would a four-line, not even a four-line, a 10-word opinion on God knows what. I've heard more lip smacking words in the last week about problems that have been here forever, and I haven't heard of one solution, We talk more on the show about potential programs and things to help people in certain areas to bump up the education system and realize that the police test is harder for people in certain areas. So here's how you get around it. There should be courses in the junior colleges and becoming a policeman so that the day the test comes, you can catch up if you want to. I don't see a solution at all other than throwing blame out at people that are. And now the latest thing is we're going to spend all our time worried about people that have been dead for 500 years and how they weren't perfect. And we're going to tear statues down. I'm not talking about Jefferson Davis and stuff, but how did Christopher Columbus get into this? Nobody ever said the guy was perfect. Nobody ever said he was a good guy. Was there anybody perfect in 1400, for God's sake? Maybe beat his wife, maybe did something. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't be a guy I wanted to be anywhere near. Yet the fact is, the dude got in three little ships that you probably wouldn't even take in the Mackinac race with and sailed around the world, didn't even know there was a round world. That particular event, I mean, is the guy, who's the first guy went around the world? What world was that? Da Gama?
Magellan,
one of those two guys. I'm sure the guy was probably a wife beater. He probably hated kids. Who God knows. The fact is, the first guy to trade around the world, sail around the world when you didn't even know where the hell you were going, is somewhat of a feat, right? I mean, I don't know.
I think it's very tragic. Our alma mater in South Bend, the main buildings decorated by those beautiful mosaics, each depicting a scene from Columbus's life, setting out on his journeys, all of his exploits, and then finally his deathbed scene. And they're all, now cordoned off because they're considered just so insensitive that, it's offensive for students to see them. At least to their credit, the university did not destroy them, which is, the preferred way of handling things like that these days, it seems, or painting them over or demolishing them.
But history is history, Jenna. Are we eventually going to try and write history out of the books?
Well, I do think once you become ashamed of your own history or you demonize it, then your culture just turns on itself and your past is your enemy. And once you can't acknowledge your past or at least learn from it, and to learn from it you have to know about it, I think all bets are off. What you replace your history with is something that your predecessors would be ashamed to have given you as an inheritance, because everybody is an enemy in the moment, and tomorrow it will be another enemy, and it's like Robespierre and the Committee of Public Safety, and eventually, the good people are the ones that go down. The ones who are trying to hang on to the past become the counter-revolutionaries, and they're the problem. So we're in that mode now, and I'm talking about there being no science in any of this discussion, and now we've got Elizabeth Warren demanding that all the bases named after Confederate generals be renamed, the Confederate cemetery should be desecrated and plowed up, and I just my heart breaks for a country that is that ashamed
what
of itself.
The part that I don't obviously a zero fan of any kind of slavery. What a horrendous deal! The whole concept of when the war ended. The people in the North who lost, sons and daughters to people now that everybody's saying are traitors and this and that, they said at the time, we've had enough. Let's just go home, start plowing next year, and try and get this behind us as best we can. They made that decision. Why, 150 years later, are we dragging it up? That was their decision. Why can't we just roll with it? There's no slavery anymore. Go home, try and put the place back together. We're trying to put the place back together. It was horrendous. It never should have happened. Whatever. You guys are idiots for having slaves not get rid of them. We understand that. But right now, there's been enough pain. Let's just get over it. Now here, 150 years later, it's somebody's life to not get over it. There's enough imperfection probably in their life, their family's life, and just around them. We can work on that all day here. I don't have to worry about whether Christopher Columbus was a wife beater or whatever the hell he was. What do I care? It's how many years ago is that? 700?
It's of no importance to the things we really should be worrying about.
Yeah.
We have fixated on trivial stuff, and our infractions against common sense and morality are just gargantuan. But we're nitpicking about people who can't come back and defend themselves.
Well,
and that's just
yeah.
cruel to me. That's insane.
Well, we have, but I mean, what is somebody gets on, gets up in her ass and says, "Okay, Christopher Columbus caused. He was one of the people because he got here. Well, he wasn't first. The guys from the Vikings were first, but he gets here, and all of a sudden, the people who followed him did the Indians like seriously wrong. We all know that. Most of it was disease. Talk about not table. You know the one disease that the Indians gave back, that there was no incidence of in Europe until the people got here, was syphilis.
No.
Syphilis. There was no incidence of that in Europe until there was one that went the other way. Obviously, smallpox knocked off how many million people here, the Indians, right?
Oh, tremendous.
Tremendous.
Yeah. Uncalculated, really.
Yeah, uncalculated. But in the 20, 30, 40 million, it's big numbers. Yeah, you know, but what am I, it was a horrible thing. There's Indians were here in Chicago. And now, but what am I supposed to do? And what is the person who's up on his, up on the podium, what are they doing? Are they going back to Ireland? Are they going back to Germany? Are they going back to Poland? I don't see them doing that. They still got their house. I mean, what is the solution? there's no solution for somebody who died. I mean, everybody talks about, I mean, obviously, again, you can't say enough bad about slavery. But the Asians who came over here and did the railroad, man, there were instances where an avalanche in the wintertime swept 50, 60 guys. We'll look for them in the spring. If we're still around here, if we're not, so what? I mean, it's not like a lot of people here didn't have a bad deal. So what am I going to do about the Central Pacific Railroad, now Union Pacific? I mean, those people, I guess they should have been looked for. I don't know if they're 10,000 feet down. How do you even get down there? Were the working conditions horrible? Yeah. We're talking about people drilling holes by hand and putting black powder. Dynamite hadn't even been invented yet, much less a drilling rig. Right? So you pack holes by hand with black powder and hope you get a couple of rocks to fall. Maybe you didn't. You got to do it all over again. But I can't think of anything worse than that, or being a sharecropper. Or the people who died in the coal mines at Black Lung at age 35, it was horrible. John, what can I do about it? I mean,
right? All you can do. I mean, and I, you know, my Irish ancestors came here to work in the mines. I had others who came and worked on the canal.
Yeah,
you know, in Bridgeport. And with jobs that nobody would take if you had any way of earning an income by some other means. The jobs were so dangerous and so distasteful. But that's how the country got built, and it's always been the story, really. If you have difficult jobs, you'll pay people well, but only certain kind of people are willing to do it. The people who have nothing,
yep,
and are looking to get something out of it. So the gold rush stories are the same. There's lots of examples of this, but we can't go back and refight these battles. We should treasure what those people gave us.
Well,
be thankful that we don't have to make those kind of compromises, but we shouldn't be beating up on the people.
Well, my Irish grandmother married the original Tom Howe back in God knows when, because he checked into the cemetery in 1907, so it was a while ago. So she's married to him, and he dies in an electrical accident at some place, probably somewhere in the stockyards, because they live behind the stockyards, in the back of the yards, hence the name. And I'm going to say 5-6 years later, ends up marrying his younger brother, who ended up becoming my grandfather. She had a thing for the Howe boys, evidently. But anyway, I'm sure they didn't have a nickel. There was no big settlement coming from that place. I bet he didn't get anything. Hey, this guy got electrocuted. Pull a body out. Let's get somebody else. What am I supposed to do? If I could go back in Ancestry, maybe if I went back in the Tribune or someplace, you're good at that, I could find the old bit from 1907. Or if I found out he worked at some place that's still here, what am I supposed to do? Go get $2 million from them now?
You know, starting writing your letters.
Anybody here who didn't have a lot of money, who worked from the years 1840 to 19 whatever, it was a bleep sandwich. I mean, no matter where you were. I mean, the slaves ended up becoming sharecroppers, which was horrible. But was it worse than coal miners? Those were the two spots, if you read Freedom from Fear, the two people that had it the worst was, they thought, the sharecroppers or the coal miners in West Virginia. And it was a toss-up. I don't know which one I'd rather. I like the breeze, so I probably would rather have been a sharecropper, although I don't like mosquitoes. I wouldn't want to be either one of those things, John. And then, you know, and the politics were horrendous. The people, when Lincoln passed the laws for people to not grow certain crops, because he wanted to raise the prices. Well, the idea was if you sent the money to John Flanagan, owner of the property, you were supposed to share it with the sharecroppers. Well, guess what? That didn't happen. And then some people from the north went down there, you know, they called them do-gooders, I'm sure, to try and get the farmers to pay the other guys. Well, half of them got lynched. And you couldn't even get a federal lynching law on the books because they've... I mean, our history is not so hot, okay? But the rest of the world wasn't so hot in the 1800s either. And a lot of places in the world aren't so hot right now. I mean, you could be in Yemen or these places. I'm not so sure that's a better deal than being here in a coal mine in 1800. So,
or being a peon in China.
Yeah.
I mean, China has what I would call slavery.
Oh, absolutely.
In practically any other culture. And nobody really takes them on about it or talks about it in Saudi Arabia or in Africa or in other places in Asia where these people are imprisoned. And doing, you know, horrible jobs for very little pay. It's involuntary servitude, which we banned here.
Right.
But it's flourishing everywhere else in the world, and we take all the world's heat for what we didn't do more of. And I'm just kind of, I have to laugh at it if it weren't so tragic. But we're ignoring the much bigger picture in favor of a minuscule portion of a history we can't change here. We could change histories elsewhere if we really cared about these issues, but I don't think we care about them that much.
Well, why do people feel, Jan, is it comfortable? Is it easier to bitch about yesterday than it is to change tomorrow? I mean, what is it? I mean, what would possess anybody to take that kind of energy to worry about Columbus's statue when we have people being shot here every weekend? And that, to me, is our problem. How do we put the family back together in areas where it isn't? How do we, I mean, a lot of this is done because there's no fathers around, I think. Now, how do we take these kids that have nobody, no supervision? Can we get them out of there? Can we do things in the summer where they go someplace in a national park and learn how to work, have some high school classes? I want to hear solutions on that. I don't care about Christopher Columbus.
No.
Those people never took...
As you know, I'm a genealogy fan,
yeah.
And one of my dad's ancestors, this would be my great-great-grandmother, was from Massachusetts. She had half-siblings, half-brothers, one of whom stayed in New England. She came to Illinois with her husband. Another half-brother went to Alabama in the 1830s and became a very, you know, well-to-do planter. He owned about 35 slaves. He was wiped out financially in the Civil War. The brother who stayed back in New England, who fought for Maine in the Maine militia in the Civil War, died in a military hospital disease right after Appomattox. The other brother, who was financially wiped out in the Civil War, came to visit my great-great-grandmother the year after the war and died in Dixon, Illinois, where she was living. I think about her more than the people were beaten up on. She had half-brothers on both sides of the fence. I'm sure she probably loved them about equally. And, you know, what would you do today if you were faced with that kind of a situation? Wouldn't you kind of tone down the rhetoric and say there were lots of people in the situation who had people on both sides of the conflict? Mary Lincoln had both, you know, relatives on both sides. How do we account for that kind of even-handedness and tolerance and strength and forgiveness if today we just want to dig all these bodies up and abuse them? I mean, this is what primitive societies have done when they have no other way of dealing with their present.
They have nothing
they
else to do, yeah.
People who aren't here anymore by humiliating them. It's like with Achilles and, you know,
well, yeah.
The Trojan War. This doesn't solve anything, and it's reprehensible. That's one thing I think we would have learned from history, but I guess not.
I don't mean just the idea that if somebody was a hero for the Confederacy, and I'm gonna. What's the percentage of people who fought for the Confederacy that didn't have slaves? It was like 80% or something.
Probably about 95%.
Yeah, and they just.
And when you the average person, I think fighting for the Confederacy would rather have been doing almost anything else than fighting.
Oh yeah,
which is always the case in war. And well, they probably had, you know, limited involvement in slavery because most of them had nothing. You know, they were sharecroppers themselves.
Isn't that
a genuine? It wasn't like they were a privileged class that was fighting to subjugate a whole race of people. That's a simplistic way of seeing any war. You know, So I just find it unbelievable. Now we punish those poor people who died, you know, some of them died in prisoner of war, you know, camps in Chicago, and they're buried in Chicago, yeah. And now we're going to dig them up again because we're tired of having to provide housing for them in their graves. This is really sick to me. We've kind of passed beyond morality here.
What did John Wayne say, that the one constant in every war is everybody's ever fought in one would rather have been somewhere else that day?
Right.
Manny, would you go along with that, Manny? You'd rather have been somewhere else that day?
I wouldn't do it.
I don't know the idea that somebody. I can't imagine, even with the transportation today, that somebody, if there was a war where Georgia was against New York, that a lot of guys from Georgia would run up and fight on the New York side. I mean, you're in the National Guard in Illinois or Ohio or someplace. You're going to go where they go. Right? And
well, it's like what Ashley Wilkes says in that now, you know, controversial movie Gone with the Wind. If you know, Georgia goes, you know, if my state goes with, you know, the Confederacy, I go with the Confederacy. It's like, same thing with Lee. He could have been the Union's commanding general if he wanted to be, but he said, my heart belongs to Virginia. So that's why we have Robert E. Lee statues being torn down.
We've got to go to break, but why was it fought by Lincoln? I think I know the answer to this. If a state just voted to be in the Union 20 years before, why couldn't they vote to be out? And I'm happy they didn't and we're back together, but why couldn't they think about that? And we'll talk about that after the break. SP Futures now way down 55. That's a comeback, gang. NASDAQ Futures down 120. Individual stocks, we got Boeing down 10 bucks. Apple down 480. Every stock in the Dow Industrials and every stock that's open in the transportation is all down. Matter of fact, I don't have a green one on this page here. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson, at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Lord, what picks Stocks and Jocks? That's about Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Jeff Glenning. We're trying to make some light today of another horrible day in the market. SP's down 60. NASDAQ futures down 130. My buddy some Pullman sent me a bunch of stuff here. The guy's always been a really, really, he's an accountant. He's a great wordsmith, John. He's almost like you. A couple of these. Hope this isn't Matty Weber. Remember when we were little and our underwear had days of the week on them? They'd be very helpful right now. Matty, is that you? This one, I'm not going to say this might apply to our co-host today. Smoking pot and skipping school had me in trouble constantly. Now, weed is legal. The schools are closed. These kids are living the dream. And here's one from Maddie. Now he's become a dog guy. After a few days of not going out, I saw someone I knew walking by on a sidewalk outside. I immediately ran to the window and started yelling to them. Now I understand my dog.
Yeah, that's right.
But one last one. This is for, I don't know who this would be for on the show. Day 8 of social isolation. It's looking like Vegas in my house. We're losing money by the minute. Cocktails are acceptable at any hour, and nobody knows what time it is.
That sounds about right.
I mean, it's anyway, so John, we're trying to make some light. I would love to see, I mean, I know I criticize, but the reason why I criticize everybody is I criticize myself. I mean, why didn't I write something last week that maybe was publishable or something? But I'm never going to lose the idea that if you're going to say something, back it up. I mean, I think that a lot of the stuff we say here, we try and have everybody who comes on the show, well, I read this, this is why I have this, you know, this behind me. I don't see anybody that this opinion on a tweet about something is like me saying, oh, yeah, that's a good bridge. Well, sir, are you a structural engineer? Well, no. Did you watch any of the construction? Well, no. Well, how the hell do you have an opinion? Well, everybody's got an opinion, don't they? Well, yeah, and they're worth what? Nothing most of the time. Just saying. But John, why was Lincoln so convinced that the states couldn't leave? I think I know the answer, but what do you think? What was his legal reasoning where they couldn't just go?
I think as far as his legal reasoning, is pretty hard to find anything that I know of in the Constitution that can be read as a prohibition on seceding from the Union. But there's all sorts of language about the cohesiveness of the states joining together and the importance and the benefits of doing that, with lots of caveats that the states, you know, could still regulate much of their lives. And this was the way they got states to even sign on to the Constitution in the first place. There's some things they wouldn't have to surrender, but we would be better from a trade standpoint. We would be better from a kind of, you know, the ability to survive as a state would be enhanced if we had other states who were similarly, you know, on the same game plan. But, you know, as far as I can tell, Lincoln was pretty, you know, involved with the slavery issue until very late in the war, and it's you know, you can kind of chart it from right before the 1864 election, where he really began to like turn this into a holy war against slavery, and it hadn't been that initially, and I don't think he would have had even the support he did had he framed it that way. It was about keeping the states together. Because we stood a better chance of surviving in an international environment that we were not a big player in at the time. But we would never be a big player if we were not all pulling in the same direction. And, you know, we would be overrun by other countries again, as, you know, the War of 1812 had kind of reminded us. And we would survive more, you know, in a stronger fashion if we stuck together. But the one thing that the Civil War really didn't adjudicate is the ability to secede. I mean, the war was fought to reclaim these states and to make them, you know, to take loyalty oaths and everything else to get back into it, which they all did eventually. But the right to do it in the first place really wasn't, you know, changed in any way from what it had been before the war. There was no constitutional amendment preventing this from happening or from a state subdividing into smaller units either. So I think that a lot of the big issues that gave rise to the war were unresolved at the end of the war, and the war has been transformed in our imagination to be something about something else. And we'd like to congratulate ourselves on fighting this holy war against slavery, but I don't think that's how people saw it, at least that clearly in 1861.
Yeah, I think the you know, obviously it's since then, a lot of the documents and letters and so forth, and it really was about slavery. It was their economic system they felt was based on slavery, which I don't know if it's been that much different to just let everybody go and pay them. I mean, it wasn't like to keep somebody was free. But I read somewhere, and I don't know your opinion on it, was one of his bases is everybody who was in, just about everybody, although there were people that were later, that was in the Constitution had also signed the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
And in there, it said you couldn't leave, I think.
Right. And that was, I debated, I mean, if you look at some of the Federalist debates, there's great, you know, concern that if we get into this and we decide we don't want to stick with it, it looks like we're stuck no matter what. And there was resistance to signing on to the Constitution unless there was some kind of escape hatch. Because if this was seen as an experiment, as it would be today, something that's radical, and it's unclear what we're going to be living with in 5 or 10 years. So, but they softened. They kind of gave enough ambiguity to the issue where a lot of states figured, well, you know, we'll worry about that later on. Let's hope it works out. And if it doesn't work out, we'll address that later. And, of course, you know, in a series of convulsions with the Missouri Compromise and the Compromise of 1850, we kind of lurched towards civil war. But that had been brewing for 20 or 30 years.
Yep.
Because this was not a clear-cut case of what to do when the nation was pitted against itself on some fundamental.
Well, every time there was
what we can do within our own state borders.
Well, every time there was a new territory became a state, there was a huge fight over whether it be a slave territory or not.
Right, and balance it out with a non-state. Yep. You know, the Kansas-Nebraska Act, and Kansas allowed slavery, Nebraska did not. And Stephen Douglas was brokering these things. He comes out on the wrong side of everything today because he was trying to placate the South to kind of hold the whole thing together. He was doing what a smart politician would be doing in any age, and he happens to have been on the losing side for a lot of people today. So eventually we'll probably see his grave desecrated out on the South Side, you know, in my lifetime.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is the revisionist history, but everybody is convinced. I mean, I was actually talking to one of our contributors yesterday, and they accused somebody of being a Neville Chamberlain, and I said, you know, Neville Chamberlain had his personality, but he ended up being a real pain in the ass, basically, to Churchill afterward, because he was still one of the five people that were the war council, right?
Right.
But when he came back from Munich, if he'd have stepped off the plane and said, "We're in war, get ready," he would have been the most unpopular man that ever walked. They weren't ready. They were absolutely not ready. But they never were. The Brits never really were ready. We had a little more time to get ready, and even we weren't ready. I mean, right? So, I mean, for that matter, the Germans weren't ready. In their mind, the guys in the Army Air Force, Hitler was an idiot. They thought he jumped 2 years too soon. By far, maybe a year and a half. But it's a. I don't understand how come people who can't even, we can't focus on how many murders were in town this weekend and say, okay, let's figure out how the hell we're going to knock this in half next weekend. We can't even talk about that, and yet we're going to talk about whether Columbus was a good guy or not. Who cares?
It really shows the kind of, you know, a collapse of priorities that we've thrown in our lot with, you know, the task at hand into, you know, punishing villains from the past and praising other people who aren't here to get their awards anymore. So in the meantime, everything around us was close to unraveling. And we're picking sides now in a struggle that really has no point being fought at all, as far as I can see. And all that energy being wasted in refighting battles that, you know, were resolved a long time ago, and we're living with the aftermath, whether we like it or not. And instead of trying to reshape the results and you know, finish the battle that wasn't finished 170 years ago, is to me just a sign that we've lost our compass completely. We're never going to get out from under anything if this is how we focus our energies, or don't focus them, I should say.
Well, the idea, I mean, first of all, anybody who doesn't think, I hope he's not even a listener, to be honest with you, doesn't think that Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, I mean, how can you be a human being and have education, have parents, and not realize that human life is sacred, for God's sake, right? I mean, anybody. I mean, you're ready. You think, especially if you've been brought up in religion we have, well, I'm not positive that everybody's rehabilitatable, but we've been brought up to think that way. And we always think that, you know, the worst thing that happened is, you know, some kid getting killed. I mean, for God's sake, not to mention they have their life to lead. But they also could be the next person who, I mean, how many people got killed in World War II that might have had a cure for cancer, for God's sake? I mean, people have, they don't get to be themselves if they get, you know, sometimes disease does it and sometimes, but I'm absolutely stunned. If you just look at it, I mean, I look at this like, what if I was a guy on, you know, it was Star Trek, and I've got my ham radio tuned into Earth. And this weekend we had how many protests because something bad happened in Atlanta, which was bad. And yet, I was looking right here, we got 13 people shot and killed in Chicago. Nobody cares. We don't have to go very far to find a place to stop people getting killed at. We don't have to go to Atlanta to find a dead body, for God's sake. Do we?
And we don't have to focus on police as perpetrators to find, you know, horrible mistakes being made. I mean, by doing that, we tend to turn a blind eye to the people, you know, to ourselves, who are capable of the same kind of cruelty or callousness about life or people's feelings or anything else, and unleash, you know, our anger in ways that we can't really control or limit. And I think we've kind of made it possible now to just use the police as a scapegoat for the things we can't fix ourselves. We don't know how to control our anger, but we expect the police to do it, and we're going to blame them every time they do something wrong, and we'll give ourselves a pass when we do it. So I think we've kind of become laughable if we could see just how stupid that looks to somebody who's not a part of it. You might think, well, we've got to get better at something before we ask anybody else to get better. But
well, I
don't see that kind of debate ever. It's not even a point of discussion. It's just let's unleash our anger on the ancestors of the people we hate, and let's punish the descendants of those people because they are those descendants. So we hate your ancestors, and we hate you too. I mean, this is why we thought we left Europe or other cultures to come to the United States, because we didn't have to be punished for what happened hundreds of years ago.
Well, we elect, again, this is going back to the, we've been, I mean, again, nobody has a more affiliation for the police force than I do, since my father was one, my uncle was one, my step-grandfather was one, you know, or the Army. My uncle died there, my dad damn near did, because he came back with a melanoma and it killed him. I mean, so it's not like me and the other people on this show are not concerned about these things. And I have been talking about how I think for years now, and part of what Matty Weber has been educating me, our police force has been behind the times, maybe because of politically or something, for a real long time. They're not up on cybercrime. They're not up on a lot of things that they ought to be. You get the feeling that every time there's a robbery or something, they're one step behind it. Even the things that were where people were planning on looting. Now, from what I understand, just a segue here a little bit, that the Binney's by me was like the original Binney's, right? It's a big, huge store. And from what I understand, Jen and Maddie, I don't know if you heard this, but the people that looted the Binney's knew right where to go. Now, if you'd have said to me, go loot the Binney's, right, which I'm not much of a looter, I don't know, Maddie, I'd probably have been scared bleepless and I grabbed a few things by the front door and got out of there before I got arrested or shot or something, right? But that's not the way. Evidently, there's a private, Maddie, did you even notice that there's a small room there that you have to know the person with the right key, and they've got, you know, $5,000 bottles of cognac. I didn't know anything about that. I've been to the Binnie's a whole bunch of times. I've never bought a $5,000. Evidently, whoever looted the place knew right where to go. Now, you can't tell me, son of an Irish cop, that somebody on the inside wasn't on top of this. And that if you look at those videos or whatever you can see, you're going to find somebody that deserves to be arrested. Not that they all don't, but somebody... You can't tell me that there isn't some planning here. That somehow our guys, I think, or maybe they aren't, are way behind. I mean, do we need a total redo of the force in terms of skill set, in terms of a lot of other things? And most of the guys that are there will be very happy on my iteration of the next force. I mean, but it comes a time. I mean, we're 5 years behind on the Jane Interchase problem. Is that okay? That people are supposed to be inconvenienced for 5 years and it's going to be 15? It's not okay. The way the police force right now, I mean, you see somebody, maybe somebody pulled over and you don't see any backup. You don't see any. Is their communication any good? The other night they chased the guy for what? How many hours, Jen, before they caught him in a car?
I know.
I mean, is the community, is the place, it's time to take that kind of a look at it. And is the somebody, well, fortunately that didn't happen here, but somebody who, I mean, when I look at the 5 police shootings this year versus 1,500 other people, I'm almost wondering if there's enough. But that means that not once, when the other 1,500 people were shooting at somebody, that a policeman showed up in time and was able to knock that guy off before he hit the kid down the block? Seems to me like we're nowhere around if there's 5, because there's enough times here, it seems to me, that people are using deadly force to where if the police were around, they maybe would have to return. We're not even around. I mean, it's almost like I'm not saying there should be more police shootings. That's not where I'm going with this. But I'm saying it appears to me that we're nowhere near where the crime is, Jen.
I mean, No. You know, I too have roots in the police force like you do. My uncle was a Chicago cop. He never married. He was my mother's brother. He always lived with us. My great-grandfather was a beat cop in Bridgeport back in the 1890s, 1910s. But, you know, when I think about what my uncle did, he was in loop traffic, which, you know, we don't have a loop traffic post anymore for the police department. But at one time, he died in 1968, but up until the time of his death,
John, what happened to
every corner in downtown Chicago had its traffic cop.
What happened to all those people we hired from the outside to do it? I don't see them anymore either.
No, I never see cops in the loop, period.
No.
Much. I mean, but you know, this was community policing. I mean, you have to talk about all these, you know, insane plans for Minneapolis and other places to get away from, you know, militarized police and towards community policing. But when my uncle worked the corner of Clark and Madison, which he did for about 16 years, he was the kind of the unofficial mayor of that little intersection, and he took care of every bum. He you know, he was like a pawnbroker. They'd give him some article of property, a busted wristwatch or something else, and he would give them cash out of his own pocket just to get them a meal, get them into a flop house, whatever else. He kept that whole corner as safe for the people who were street people and for the tourists and everybody else, and kept the cars moving and dodged buses and streetcars and everything else in the process. But the loop was, at that time, kind of a model of efficiency compared to today. But if he knew everybody on the street, and if he saw somebody he didn't know, he got to know them real fast and figured out what the heck this person is doing here. We had beat cops in Avalon Park on the south side and in Beverly and every other neighborhood. It was community policing on a very traditional model where the cop was somebody you saw every day. He was like the mailman or something. And you know, that's when we had a police force that's minuscule compared to what we have now. We got tons of cops,
yeah,
and I never see
people.
Any. And I don't know. I really don't know what they're doing. Well, they must be hunkering down or bunkering down or something. But they seem to be outclassed by the kind of criminals we have now. And if we go back to community policing, we're going to have them armed to the teeth and psychological training and hostage training and everything else like we've never dreamed of in order to get on a parity with the crimes that we've got now. So I think, you know, maybe it's part of a long process, but we've really lost ground.
Well, the one of the guys, I won't say where I know him from, one of my Southside buddies, he's a sergeant, and he says the lieutenants, there's supposed to be one in the house and one out driving around. Because the one out driving around always goes home. He drives around for an hour and goes home. But yeah, we don't need that. I mean, I think we can improve everywhere. But this constant, you know, I for one, I mean, I don't know, Maddie's going to tell me I'm nuts, but I'm over a bunch of black people telling me how much of a racist I am, because I'm not, I never have been. I don't generalize black people, and I don't want them generalizing me. I mean, I know that's a...
Nor do I.
I mean,
nobody
harsh,
does.
That's a harsh statement. Don't do to me. What did John Wayne say in The Shootist? He goes, I don't want people putting their hands on me and doing stuff. I don't do that to other people, and I don't let them do it to me. Don't generalize me. I've never once not been trying to do the best I can for everybody, and I'd be, if I had to spend time, I'll volunteer to go down to Inglewood and be part of the solution. I'll sit in some meetings. Whatever knowledge I may have, I'm willing to. Don't brand me. Just like I don't brand. And the idea, I would never tell a black person, by the way, you better go to Inglewood and do something. Those are your people. I don't want somebody telling me, hey, you better get over to Western West Virginia and do something to those guys. They're your people. I never met any of those people. How are they my people? I mean this idea, the things people say to people is I don't, why would you don't get to accuse, it seems, Jan, as I age, the same thing somebody accuses somebody else of is what they don't want to be accused of. I mean, they don't want white policemen to look at every African American and say the kid's a thug, because they're not. Guess what? Nor do you want everybody, but it's okay or not okay. Either way, for you to look at every white policeman and say they're a racist. No, they're not. I mean, we're not going to get anywhere that way. I don't believe so.
No, and you know the politicians that have made meals out of all this stuff, you know, they couch it in terms that sound good. You know, what we need is a conversation about such and such and such and such. And I'm all for conversation and discussion and sharing of ideas, but it has to be an honest, protected sharing of ideas, and not just an opportunity to sit and take a lecture from somebody who thinks they have the upper hand morally and, you know, politically and everything else. And that's really what conversations have become. There is absolutely no way you can have a conversation about these issues now without turning it into a third rail. And, you know, a lot of the abuses that the police are accused of, I think, is in many ways due to the fact that they are outclassed. And they tend to fight back in more violent ways because they don't have the support, they don't have the tools, they certainly don't have the intelligence anymore that they used to when it came to tracking what's really going on or having their finger on the pulse. The job has evolved into something where they're kind of, it's like a video game or something.
Yeah, right.
They really don't
it.
Know what's going on, and they prefer not to know too much, or certainly not to get too involved in it until it reaches some kind of crisis, and then horrible things are very likely to happen when everything's breaking down and falling apart. So you don't want a police that's just there when there's a riot, but you want the police there when there's, you know, good times too. And they're not seen as a threat, but they're not, and not just as somebody who's got more power, but somebody who's got a cooler head than everybody else. And we've made it impossible for police to be cool anymore.
Right.
We've kind of turned over the job of policing our families and everything else to the schools. The schools are like a branch of the correction system, really. They're not about teaching
well,
anymore.
It's, like,
it's just about warehousing people because there's nobody at home to look after them or teach them anything or stop them from doing dumb stuff, and we expect the schools to do that and to feed them and everything else. So if that's the way people are being raised and the kind of worlds they get comfortable with, the police are always going to be the enemy. And I just think that's something the police didn't ask for, but I don't know how they're going to get out from under it at the rate we're going.
Well, Jen, it's all about, I mean, you in our lifetime, because we're not kids, racism was, I'm going to say, way worse when we were kids. And there's been a dramatic, I mean, it may seem to young people that, you know, 5 years or 5 minutes is a long time, but it's not. I mean, you look at the difference between the 50s and Ron Santo saying the first couple of times he was on a double-A team with Billy Williams that when they went to Texas, Billy didn't stay in a hotel. He had to go stay in somebody's house. And Ron Santo was from Seattle, which was pretty liberal. And he's liberal in the old term. So what the hell, where's he going? How come he's not staying in the same hotel? I don't know, you can't do that in Texas or Alabama or anywhere. He's like, that's nuts, you know, in the U.S. But it still was happening. And there's an amazing amount of progress that's been made that should be more. But clearly everybody I know is certainly on the cutting edge of what you think people should be treated of all color and religion. But it's almost like, John, if you know somebody who's a big fatso, and all of a sudden one day he or she starts to take care of that, maybe goes to the park every night and walks before, and all of a sudden they need to lose 50 pounds, and all of a sudden they're down 10, and they're looking a lot better, and you encourage them, and all of a sudden somebody else walks in and says, well, you're still a big fatso. Yeah, I mean, there's a ways to go on everything. But the point is, you're supposed to push the progress, and not criticize where you are, and you're not done yet. We're not done with anything. I mean, nobody's ever perfect. Nobody. I mean, it's not the destination; it's the journey, right? I mean, anyway.
Right, and a lot of people today are much more interested in breaking what we had started to fix 150 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we didn't fix it fast enough, so now we got to break it. You know, it's like we set the leg wrong. We got to break it again and watch it heal again for another 150 years. And I don't think we have the time or the resources for that kind of luxury.
Well, I want to walk in here sometime in my lifetime on a Monday morning and see shot and killed, zero. Shot and wounded, zero. And if some policeman misbehaves in Butte, Montana, I guess I worry about it, but I'm not worried about this. These are the 13 people that I might have seen last week that are no longer here. I mean, that bugs me, and it's always going to. And I don't know, whatever. John, thank you very much, buddy.
Yep.
SP Futures down 56, NASDAQ Futures down 111. Come back with us for David Andelman and see where in his charts we should be buying here or not, and look at gold and oil and all these other things. It's pretty crazy. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tamari's Mr. Mel Orbit aboard. David Andelman in a second. SP Futures down 59. We've been right about here most of the morning, although we had a bigger dip last night. David will tell us where the bottom and stuff on that was. NASDAQ Futures down 119. Dow Futures down 592. So we've been pretty much started in Asia, and it's kept coming. Over Europe, the DAX down 126. That's 1%. FTSE down 64, 1%. CAC around down 44.9%. So right across the board there, about 1%. Asia, however, a lot worse. Nikkei down 774. That's 3.5%. So that's a big number. Shanghai down 29. That's 1%. Hang Seng down 524. That's 2%. Again, as we review Friday, because we bounced back from Thursday, Dow is up 477. Not that far off from where we are now. S&P future, or S&P was up 39. And the futures are down 60 now, so about two-thirds of the way back there. NASDAQ was up 96, and now we're down 114, so almost, well, give up a little bit more than we did on Friday. Bonds, 30, 10-year yield, 0.66. It's down another 3 basis points. When it got over 80 last week, people were saying it was going to go over 1%. It's not. Bund, minus 0.46, and Japan is positive 0.003. Oil, whack, down $1.18. That's 3%, 35.08. Brent down 82 cents, 37.91. Natural gas, 172. RBOB, 110. Last but not least, gold down 25 bucks, 17.12. Everybody wants anything here this morning. Silver down 34 cents, 17.14. Like I said, whack across the board here. Manny, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We do have a couple of issues on the area, expressways, roadways, and tollways. Still working on that issue on the tri-state. Actually, this might be a new one on the tri-state. This is on the northbound side just before Irving Park Road. So that earlier crash on the southbound side is all clear. That was at St. Charles Road, so that's good news. Now just north of there on the northbound side, there was an earlier crash before Irving Park Road, and that's causing some delays on the I-294 tri-state. And that's been slow because of accidents all morning, so keep that in mind. Other major issue in the area is on the Eisenhower outbound side just before 9th Avenue. There's a crash blocking the right shoulder. The old post office to Wolf is up to 27 minutes. To Route 390 is up to 41 minutes. So expect some delays if you're heading out west on I-290 due to that crash. No issues on the inbound side. Stevenson looks good, as does the Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford. Kennedy looks good, except for that ramp closure at Montrose.
That's the overpass demolition. It's taken a little bit longer than they thought. That was supposed to be done over the weekend, and now it's going to be done, it says here, by Wednesday morning. So that has the off-ramp to Montrose on the outbound Kennedy closed. Lakeshore Drive looks good in both directions. Suburban tollways are all quiet, and everything else looking good out there. Weather today, similar to yesterday, sunny, chilly, especially in the shade. We'll reach a high of 69, a bit cooler by the lake. Right now it's crystal clear and 60 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot today with a high of 106. Right now it's clear and 77. In sports, the big news over the weekend was that the MLBPA and the league could not come to an agreement on an abbreviated season and a share of the profits, and decided that they better go back to their original March agreement, which was pay the players a prorated salary for a 50-ish game season and a total of about $1.25 billion. And so that's where they're at right now. So MLBPA is asking the league to send out the schedule, and they'll be there to play. And it looks like we could have baseball, but it will be a sprint, 48-50 game season, something like that, beginning end of July, and the players will be ready to go, and they'll just receive their prorated salaries, totaling up to about $1.25 billion. Chief.
So they get the prorated salaries for the season, and they don't get paid anything for the playoffs except playoff bonus money.
That's what it looks like.
So some guys could play 50 games in the season and another possibly 25 in the playoffs, or 20 in... really only get paid for the 50.
Yeah. But what the owners were proposing were play 120 games, and we're going to pay you 25% or 30% of your salary. So I don't know which is better or which is worse for the players.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously the revenue is going to be down quite a bit.
Right.
David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
A couple of questions here. One is, United Airlines secures $5 billion loan backed by a loyalty program. What the hell is a loyalty program?
The miles.
How would that be? How would that backing or collateral for a loan?
I don't know. I guess the folks issuing the folks, you know, giving the money for the debt must be frequent flyers. So I don't know the answer to that.
So the people that have miles, if you
know. I mean, maybe it also has to do with the, I don't even know what you call them, those comfort clubs.
I don't know.
Maybe you have to be members, and so, you know, yearly members and the like, and so perhaps, you know, that's thrown in as a pledge. I don't know the details of the loan.
Well, it says, this is breaking news. Please check back for details. So I just thought you guys would already know the details, just saying.
I'm not a debt guy. I'm an equity guy.
I think these guys are getting loans anywhere they can, but the drain has got to be dramatic. I mean, it has to be.
I'm sure.
You hate seeing this stuff just drain out, and that's, I guess we get the wrong idea, Dave, with the downtown Chicago. I'm going to say the suburbs got to be, what would you say, Maddie, 40%, 50% back? What's downtown here, 5? If that,
yeah. I know that my office has said essentially August 1st they're going to reevaluate. And a lot of offices have said after 4th of July, and some offices have said, you know, not till the end of the year.
I
want to share an anecdote that you'll love about Wisconsin.
Good.
My partner and I decided to take a little ride to Lake Geneva just to see it. Yeah, I mean, we've been there before, but, you know, if it looked safe, walk around and, you know, stay out of the stores and wear masks, and, you know, we brought gloves and headgear. And, I mean, we were amongst humans, we were like space people. And we knew it was bad because a mile in from the heart of the downtown, it was lined up car after car after car. It took literally 2 to 3 minutes to get through any light. So we knew it was going to be crowded and packed, and we weren't very optimistic. Meanwhile, we get there, and there's virtually no parking spaces. And the folks, I was incredulous. It was unbelievable. They were shoulder to shoulder. No mask, no gloves, no headgear, no face protection, no nothing. Not even a mask hanging from their ears, so they when they went into the stores or restaurants, you know, they'd be protected. We just said, this is not for us. See ya. We turned around, and on the way home, 10 miles out from Lake Geneva, same county, same state, same everything, we saw a meat market, and we said, you know what, meat and cheese, you know, Wisconsin, it's probably great, and blah, 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 blah. So we stopped to go in, disinfectant everywhere, masked person with gloves and hat and headgear and face gear and whatever, and only letting in, you know, two people at a time, literally two people at a time. Can't get in there unless you're totally protected. Can't get in unless, you know, you disinfect your hands. They take your temperature before you walk in, and two people at a time in the store. Same county, same state, same everything. One place, shoulder to shoulder, just asking for a sneeze or a cough, God forbid, to spread the virus. Down the road, 10 miles, totally protected.
Well, they don't want anything in their places. They don't want to have to close down. Bars don't care. Right?
The difference was absolutely shocking. We said, see, we're going home, so much for the ride in the country.
Well, it is, like I said, there's not much in the way of science behind any of this stuff. Although I would say very close to somebody with them coughing on you is probably the way you're going to get it. I mean, there's no question about that. But some of the places are...
I think the leading epidemiologist, I don't care if it's Fauci or, you know, they had some doctor on today or the former head of the FDA or whatever. I mean, yes, whether it's eyes, the tissue around the eyes or nose or throat or hands, but the leading epidemiologists all say if people would just wear masks and stay, you know, whatever, not necessarily 6 feet, maybe it's 8 or 10, but social distancing with prudence, the number of cases would go way down.
I mentioned earlier in the show, one of my neighbors has been expert on this stuff like for a real long time because he puts his money in all these startup. You love the guy, David, because he knows all these little firms that you talk about. He might have been there when they were young. He's one of those kind of guys.
Right.
And he says it's all about viral load. And none of the studies he sees, none of the politics, none of the decisions being made are made with any kind of science behind them. They're just flying by. He goes, the idea of 6 feet away, he goes, nobody's proven that you can get a viral load from any of these people at 6 feet. 3 feet probably, 2 feet for sure, but six is, you know, just because it's become the number. He says, man, masks don't do anybody good either, unless in very seldom, some small cases.
What does he base that on? Because every epidemiologist that I've heard would disagree with that. And I find it very, very difficult to believe that, quote unquote, and nothing against you or him or whatever, no science. You got 110 different labs and educational institutions studying from test tubes to rats to even human beings with antibodies, and there's no science behind it. I find that extremely hard to believe.
I didn't say that there was
24 hours a day and night.
I didn't say that there was no science behind a lot of what the doctors are doing and what the people in the labs are doing. There's serious science. What I'm saying is a lot of what the politicians are doing, they're not bending their policies to what the science is coming up with the day before or the week before. It's going to be 6 feet until we're 100 years old, David. Doesn't matter whether it's six or not. That's just the number they picked up.
Yeah, that I agree with. But you know, but I've heard some politicians, you know, like the guy in Maryland, even the guy in New Jersey and whatever, saying, hey, you know what? It depends. If you're in an enclosed quarters with air conditioning or whatever, maybe the real figure is 12 feet. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's nothing hard and fast. It's the same in my profession, and you know, being a technical analyst, that, oh, you know, 20%, you know, correction means you're in a bear market, or you know, 20% up means you're a bull market, or 70% on their relative strength indexes, or the stochastics are, you know, extend, overbought, oversold. Those terms, in my opinion, from decades of experience, don't exist. But nevertheless, it's all you hear on TV.
Well, if you look around at the masks now, especially people that are wearing them all day in restaurants and stuff, you're going to see the ones with the little valve on them.
Right.
Now, those allow the person, I don't know if you knew this or not, Maddie, they allow the person who's wearing the mask to breathe out unencumbered.
Right.
So it's designed for if you're working with, like, plasterboard or someplace, you're not breathing it in, but you can breathe. I mean, when I wear a stupid mask into the store, all I do is steam up. I was even steaming up my contact lenses. I mean, the thing is, it's uncomfortable. It's hot. But those other ones, they're not protecting you at all. Person just breathing right out.
Right.
Anyway, David, when you see this happen, we had the massive down day on Thursday. We came back mostly in the last few minutes, although we were. I say this all the time, and the answer is always, well, no, or I did now. But Friday, there had to be a couple of times when we were up most of the day where the NASDAQ particularly would be up like 60, 70, or it was up like 100 and something during the show, where it went negative 10 points. And within, I'm not exaggerating, 3, 4, 5 minutes, it was back up 60. It was like, I mean... The intra-minute volatility in the NASDAQ Friday was within like a 100-point range. It was almost like the market was 100 points wide.
Yeah, it you know, I think, as we've talked about really for months now, I mean, maybe even more than a year, just the speed at which the portfolio rotations and allocations, I don't know if it's press a button and, you know, futures, we can buy all the NASDAQ and sell all the Russell, or buy the NASDAQ and sell the Dow futures, or whatever. I can't, you know, tell you exactly why, but that speed has been increased by magnitudes. And, you know, we went from, you know, NASDAQ leads and just buy the FANG stocks and the stay-at-home stocks and, you know, the Teladocs and the Shopify's and, you know, whatever, and because everyone's going to stay home and, you know, sell everything else other than maybe healthcare, to, you know, the economies are going to revive, the cyclicals are going to come back, you know, stores are going to open, we're going to even put a few people on planes, they're going to book ahead for, you know, cruises and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So let's sell all those, you know, NASDAQ and stay-at-home stocks and buy, you know, the industrials and the cyclicals. And, you know, that's the way to be. So all of a sudden, you know, last week, we're all of a sudden, oh, geez, you know, 21 states have upticks in coronavirus. And by the way, with the protesters and whatever, many of which are not, you know, wearing masks and whatever, we're going to see this uptick in coronavirus. And let's dump out, you know, the cyclicals and industrials and get back to the stay-at-home stocks. And that really, I mean, you know, I can't, you know, put my finger on the exact number of baskets bought and baskets sold to make those portfolio allocations and account for the volatility, but I can tell you that's what it was.
Well, we're seeing that today. The only three stocks they have up on my page now are Walmart, Netflix, because everybody's back in their house, and right. Johnson & Johnson, if they have some kind of a treatment or something, which, you know, would be nice. But it's...
They're supposed to be able to administer to 30,000 people. You know, they're not going to, you know, these people, I don't know if it's going to be volunteers or people who are really sick or whatever, because they will not know the efficacy or the side effects, but supposedly as of July, they're going to be able to administer a vaccine on 30,000 people.
Now, when you say a vaccine, we're talking about a flu shot, an antibody booster, not a vaccine. Talk about definitions.
Not a prophylactic, not a preventative.
Yeah. Right, so it's not even really... Why do even Fauci call it a vaccine when it's not?
I guess because it's an injectable.
I mean, nobody ever calls a flu shot a vaccine, do they?
I can't answer that. I think that average John Q. Public Mary Smith, you know, would probably call that a vaccine only because it's an injectable. I'm not saying they're interchangeable, and I get the difference that you're pointing out, but I'm sure some people have called it a vaccine. You're right, it's a flu shot.
I'm not into this dumbing down a society that where every politician gets the jab and all of a sudden the rest of the people can't understand and they gotta dumb it down for them. I don't dumb down stuff on the show, for God's sake. If I was ever a governor, I sure wouldn't.
No, you're very specific, and you're very, you know, accurate.
Well, but I mean, if the people are that dumb, I guess that's what. Do you follow that lead and say that's why I'm in office, Maddie? Because people are so stupid. That would be my next point. I have to feel these people are dumb, or else I wouldn't be here.
Well, maybe that's why they read the Johnson & Johnson, you know, flu shot is coming, and so we'll be safe, don't worry, and so that's why they were all out there in Lake Geneva, shoulder to shoulder and hand to hand.
David, are you surprised?
I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen it like when there was no virus. It was like an absolute
gorgeous day.
Mob scene.
Gorgeous day. Anyway, this goes all day long. I was talking about earlier. There's no solution. There's no. By the way, this United Airlines. I know I'm skipping around here. They claim it's backed by their Mileage Plus loyalty program.
That's what I said. Mileage.
Yeah, bringing their potential total liquidity to $17 billion, which is enough. They're down. They see their daily. Wow, I had no idea it was this bad. They see their daily cash burn slowing to $30 million per day by the end of the third quarter. That's September 30th.
It was up over 50.
And it says that the next round they can give up, they could use their slots, their gates, and their routes as collateral if they ultimately tap another $4.5 billion the government has said they could have before September 30th. Jesus.
The only other thing that I can think of is, you know, some folks, you know, instead of earning miles, will buy miles, and maybe there's, you know, again, I'm absolutely throwing a dart in the air, no idea. Maybe, you know, there's a certain, you know, number of thousands or millions of miles bought each month. You know, I know I get stuff from, and I'm not even a flyer, but I get stuff from American Airlines. Oh, you know, you can buy 4,000 miles for $40 and use them without having to, you know, reach the 25,000, you know, minimum for a ticket, you know. So maybe they have a number of subscribers on a continuous basis that buy miles, and maybe they're pledging that. I don't know. Just a guess.
I would, I don't want to get into this too heavy, but my first blush would be that miles people have earned would be a liability, not an asset.
Yeah, that's why I tried to distinguish it with miles bought rather than miles earned.
David, I was talking to some people last night that are in the futures side of the business and back office, and talking about whether people are coming back to the trading floor and whatever, and they're saying, well, you know, obviously the markets are going fine. David, they're not going fine. I kick up option stocks all the time where the bid is 25 cents and the offer is $5. Anybody who thinks that the fabric of the market right now is good, I mean, they must be staying home smoking the crinkly cigarettes, because, I mean, when you start having 40 and 50 point runs up and down the NASDAQ in 4 and 5 minutes, it shows you there's no market fabric. That's why I'm so happy that what I'm doing for people now is pretty much virtually all protected index program. And you know what? When we're protected, when we make a trade, it's because, you know, it's down and we get a little longer, and it's up, get a little shorter, and we're setting ourselves up to be on the. I mean, I almost wish I had an account where I just bought some premium and was able to put bizarre bids and offers in for the E-minis at night and just hope I get hit. But I mean, I haven't done that yet with anybody. But I don't know if I would want to. You know, the risk there is, of course, the second I did it, that's the week nothing happens and you just basically suck on the premium all week, which I wouldn't really want to. But I mean, if people that are long premium, normally it's the retail trader that's long premium all the time, because you can't really be short, at least not here. And that's a tough game, because, well, you know, a lot of times stuff doesn't move. But boy, if you're a long trader here, of course you're paying to play. I mean, the VIX is up. We had the VIX back up over 40 today. It hasn't been over 40 in a while, has it?
No. No, it, you know, went to a high of 83, back down to 24.
Yeah.
Now right back to 40.
And so, I mean, it's a real tough time to be a trader, but it's also a time that if you're going to trade this, you have to pay for protection. I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, clearly, I think it's
or at least collected by selling premium.
Yeah, well, you can do that too. But you know, some of this stuff though, you buy a stock for $350 and you sell a call for $2. It's not exactly a huge amount of insurance there, David. I mean, you don't want to truncate it. So where here would you be? I got the E-mini's 2978. Is there a buy spot or a sell spot? You got 30 seconds.
2950
is a buy.
And then it's a buy, and I told you that if it violated 3,100, it was going to 2950, and we're not far off.
We didn't get there last night, did we? How low did we get?
Yeah, we got as low in the September, now the front month, to 2924.
Wow. All right, David, thank you very much. I'll talk to you on Thursday. S&P futures down 56, a little better. It's been down 61. NASDAQ futures down 119. Back tomorrow, Stacks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
A little early. I
gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.